tuned in to the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows along with this episode, and you want to find our social media links, you can find all of that at hishardline.com. That's www.hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host, with our Sovereign Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, in the captain's chair, and he's steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. Today's show is called Symmetrical Subversion. And today's reading is out of Psalm chapter 9, verses 5 through 11. Daily disclaimer. I want to clarify that while I proudly serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good standing, my expertise does not extend to being a licensed doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer. Additionally, I am not the official face or voice of the National, State, or County General Jural Assembly. And remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of your family and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. I hope everybody's having a good day so far today. I have a little bit of a headache that I'm dealing with, but we're going to manage. I'm in the first 24 hours of my 72-hour fast, and oh man, I tell you what, the first day is always the worst. I don't know why. You know, you figured actually the first day wouldn't be so bad for me, because normally I fast about 20 hours a day anyways, and I keep my eating window typically between, 4 and 8 p.m. Generally, I try not to eat around 8 p.m. I try to be done right around 7 at the latest if I can help it. But I don't know. I think it's something with my mind, like my mind plays games with me, because it knows, hey, buddy, you're not going to be having any food for the next 72 hours, so we're going to make the first day quite painful for you. But you know what? I'm actually feeling fine as far as the hunger goes. I just had had some bone broth, some beef bone broth, and I usually do the kettle and fire. But I don't really feel hungry. But the headache is what's killing me right now. But I think part of that is because of dehydration. I haven't been drinking as much water as I should. So that's probably partially my own fault. So anyways, but nonetheless. So when we talk about trying to restore a Republican form of government, we're essentially aiming to get back to the basics, right? Which is a government of, by, and for the people. And it's about having leaders who answer to us in that government. The people, which is who the government should be answering to, the leaders who answer to us operate under a set of laws that apply equally to everyone. And that should be the ideal, right? But here's the problem. Every time we try to steer things back in that direction by assembling another state and, reseating our seats that had, that have been sitting vacant since 1869, we're met with what seems to be a symmetrical resistance of sorts. It's an organized opposition, almost mirroring our every move, but in the opposite direction, ready to throw us off track. And so this resistance isn't just a mere minor inconvenience, but it's a roadblock. It's a roadblock that it's a roadblock to progress, and it's dragging us further away from what America's supposed to be and what it's supposed to stand for. Now, what exactly do I mean when I say symmetrical subversion? What is symmetrical subversion? Symmetrical subversion refers to a tactic that's used by adversaries, often in geopolitical or military context, where they employ strategies that, again, mirror or counter the actions of their opponents. Now, this can involve tactics like using things such as propaganda, cyber attacks, unconventional warfare aimed at undermining the strength or stability of the opposing party. But it's essentially a form of strategic competition where both sides seek to outmaneuver each other using similar methods. Now, here's kind of how this plays out. So the existing power structures influenced by the cabal, if you will, are twisted and corrupted. They appear legitimate on the surface, but underneath they're built upon deceit, manipulation, and the erosion of fundamental rights and freedoms. Now, these structures may include aspects of government, finance, media, other influential institutions that we have grown to trust most of our lives, at least up until this point. And ultimately, they are there to try to enslave us, keyword try, because they're not going to succeed. They're there to try to enslave us mentally more than anything. And if they can enslave the man in his mind, well, then it's game over, because, you know, at that point, there is really no need for chains and bars to restrain the man. Now, despite the seemingly diverse nature of the opposition, there's a symmetrical pattern to their resistance. Now, each time efforts are made to restore our Republican form of government and uphold that common law, the opposition responds in a coordinated manner, deploying various tactics to maintain their control and suppress any meaningful change. And this is subversion on the darkest, deepest level from these internal, destructive, delinquent, reprobate of criminals. Now, this symmetrical opposition poses, I would say, a fairly significant obstacle to restoring our sovereignty and to getting back our freedom, not just for ourselves, but for the American people at large. It perpetuates a cycle of oppression where any progress towards returning to original jurisdiction, well, it's ultimately symmetrically undermined or co-opted by those in power and or by the, you know, their low-level ground agents. And some of those ground agents could take the form of, you know, the Fed and CIA ran and operated podcasters, right? Through Mockingbird Media. And this undermines trust in institutions, it stifles dissent, it perpetuates a state of disempowerment among the people. And so this corporate cabal control that's over the de facto government not only hampers efforts to restore sovereignty, but it actively works against it by manipulating laws, policies, public discourse, and they even ensure that true sovereignty remains elusive, with power concentrated in the hands of a few at the expense of the will of the people. This is what they do. They try to take terms like sovereign citizen and democracy and various media outlets, and they try to confuse the minds of many so it distorts what exactly we are and what we need to return to as our founding fathers had initially intended. They distort definitions. They make up terms. That were never originally used in our founding documents. Like, if you go back, I've said this before, folks, if you go back into our founding documents, you will not find democracy, democratic republic, a democrat. You won't find any of those terms anywhere. I challenge you to go look. But this symmetrical subversion of the opposition from the corporation highlights the urgent need for vigilance. Well, vigilance from who? Well, from us, ladies and gentlemen. You think that we're going to have a knight in shining armor that's going to come protect us? Get out of that mindset. Get out of that mindset, put down the damn popcorn, and start getting involved. We need resilience. We need to have solidarity among those that are advocating for the restoration of sovereignty and freedom. And overall, it will put a spotlight on the importance of exposing and challenging entrenched power structures, promoting full disclosure and accountability among these groups, and fostering a culture of self-governing engagement and critical thinking among the people. We've gotten so far away from being a critically thought-provoked populace, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. Now, here's what people need to get drilled into their mind. In a true Republican form of government, power is derived from the consent of the governed, and the rule of law reigns supreme. But when the powers that be are working against us with such symmetry, it undermines the very foundation of our Republican form of government. Instead of representing our interests, they are self-serving their own agendas, and that's not how it's supposed to work. That's not how it's supposed to work. Then there's the issue of accountability, because we the people need to hold leaders accountable for their actions. But when there is this level of opposition and interference, accountability becomes almost a distant dream. And the reason this has become a distant dream is because we have fallen into such a deep slumber and have become lazy. We've become complacent. And it's become a situation where those in power can do pretty much whatever they want without consequence, eroding the principles of justice, and, oh yeah, that's right, fairness. Let's not forget about the erosion of trust. Because when people see their efforts to bring about positive change constantly thwarted, they start to lose faith in the system altogether. They feel like their voices don't matter. And that's a dangerous place to be, and especially when our country is in the last beacon of hope, not just for only us, but for the world at large. If we fall, so does the rest of the world. I don't think a lot of people really realize that reality. Now, perhaps the most concerning aspect is the long-term impact on our freedoms. A Republican form of government is meant to protect our individual rights and freedoms, but when it's under attack, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me, those freedoms are at risk. It is no wonder why Ronald Reagan said we are just but one generation away from losing our freedom. We start seeing things like censorship, surveillance, and other measures that dramatically or systematically but slowly chip away at our basic rights. So when we talk about the detrimental effects of facing opposition and restoring the Republican form of government, it's not just about the here and now, it's about the future of our country, our accountability, our trust in small and limited government systems, and ultimately our freedoms as a people. And that's something we can't afford to take lightly. Now, before we get further into this discussion, I want to read Psalm chapter 9, verses 5 through 11. For you upheld my right and my cause, seated on your throne, judging justly. You rebuked the nations, you destroyed the wicked, their name you blotted out for all time. The enemies have been ruined forever. You destroyed their cities, their memory has perished. The Lord rules forever, has set up his throne for judgment. It is he who judges the world with justice, who judges the peoples with fairness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. You never forsake those who seek you, Lord. Now, in this psalm, the psalmist is vividly portraying God's role as the ultimate arbiter of justice and sovereignty. And the passage begins with a resounding affirmation of God's righteous judgment, depicting him as upholding the rights and causes of his people from his throne. where he judges with perfect fairness and righteousness. This portrayal of God's divine intervention speaks directly to the challenges faced when striving to restore common law and our republican form of government. See, when we consider the efforts to restore common law and the principles of a republican form of government, we are often met with an organized resistance and an opposition, as we touched on earlier. Now, this opposition, like I said, like the wicked nations that were rebuked in the Psalms, they seek to thwart our endeavors and maintain its grip on power. It mirrors the wickedness and tyranny that God ultimately condemns and destroys. Just as God erases the memory of the wicked and ruins their cities, we also must confront and dismantle the structures of oppression and corruption that hinder our progress. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it will be destroyed. Yet, in the middle of these declarations of divine judgment, the psalmist here offers a message of hope and reassurance to God's people. Well, what's that message? Well, the message is that he reminds us that the Lord rules forever, number one. He sits enthroned as the ultimate authority, that's number two. And this really needs to serve as a beacon of hope for those that are striving to restore common law, reassembling our states, and try to uphold the republican form of government. It's a reminder that God's justice prevails over the schemes of tyrants and oppressors, always will. More importantly, the psalmist highlights God's role as a stronghold for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. Just as those who intimately know God's character and promises, you know, can trust in him completely, those who seek to restore justice and freedom find comfort and protection in his presence. God is a strength. He's a source of strength for those who face this daunting task against, you know, confronting these entrenched powers and dismantling the systems of injustice. Because that's exactly what it is. Rules for thee, but not for me. They have two different sets of systems. And so when we apply this message to dealing with opposition in our own country, in our own modern time, it becomes pretty clear that trust in God's justice, hope in his protection, and perseverance in seeking him are essential during these times. And so I think we're reminded that we need to trust in God's sovereignty, especially when forced, you know, faced with the opposition. We need to know that, yes, he does see and judge all things with fairness and impartiality. This psalm offers a very profound message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of assurance. It's a message of trust in God's justice and protection, reassuring us that, yes, God reigns supreme and will vindicate his people in the face of any opposition or adversity, including, but not limited to, the challenges encountered in restoring common law, in reassembling our states, and basically propping back up our republican form of government. Now, The symmetrical subversion that we were just touching on earlier. If you listen to the interview that I did last week with Mike Gill, which, by the way, thank you to all the new listeners that have come over who follow Mike Gill, who follow the Michelle Moore Show. I want to say thank you for all of you for coming over here, subscribing to the channel. I can't thank you enough. You guys have been such a, guys and gals, have been such a wonderful support. And what really sucks, since we're on this topic of symmetrical subversion, here's what kind of sucks. For the longest time, before I even started this podcast at the direction of God, my Heavenly Father, which of course I didn't listen to right away, I sat with a paralysis of the analysis. But before this podcast came to be, I listened to so many voices out there, so many influencers. I listened to so many of them. Well, Jason, who did you used to listen to? Okay, well, I'm not speaking ill will of any of these people, but I'm just going to tell you, these are the shows I used to listen to. I used to listen to SGT Report. I used to listen to Patriot Street Fighter. I used to listen to Bards FM. I used to listen to Phil Gutelewski, Charlie Ward, Simon Parks, Nick Vianemen, or whatever his name was. Yes, Nino Rodriguez. I used to listen to him. And we know. Yes, for a while, up until fairly recently, even Derek Johnson. I have a lot of people keep asking me, well, Jason, why don't you name names and call these people out? Well, I can't really call people out because, number one, I don't have evidence of their of what my internal discernment is telling me. So that's number one, okay? I stopped listening to all these voices because as I listen, I've listened to all these voices for over the last 3.5 to 4 years. And what was over 20 plus voices is now dwindled down to 2. And those 2 voices that I typically listen to is now Michelle Moore, the Michelle Moore Show with Mike Gill, and Kirk Pendergrass over there at Kirk's Law Corner. That's it. Because all the other voices, I've started noticing a few things. I started noticing inconsistencies. I started noticing flip-flopping agendas and narratives. I started noticing them pushing a lot of different things that were opposite and contrary to what the general assemblies are doing. Here's the biggest thing I noticed. A lot of these podcasters slash influencers don't even give you the remedy of what we need to do. They just keep telling you, just sit back. Patriots are in control. The military is the only way. Grab your popcorn. Enjoy the show. This is all a show. Blah, 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 blah. Well, while the military is going to play a vital role, I got news for you. It is still we the people that need to be our own saviors. We are going to be the knight in shining armor. And those that want to pick up a bucket of popcorn and in quote unquote enjoy the show, well, you don't even deserve freedom nor sovereignty. You deserve to be enslaved mentally by the system. You don't deserve to break free of the matrix. As much as I want to say I'm doing this for you, if you don't put in an effort to some degree, you don't deserve your freedom and your sovereignty. Well, Jason, how am I supposed to do that if I'm not part of the assembly? You can do this in many different ways. Share podcasts. It just, you know, share the right voices. Lead people the right direction. Doesn't mean you have to run for a de jure office in the assembly. Doesn't mean, you know, you have to become part of the assembly. Yes, we encourage it, but look, we understand not everybody is going to be fit for it, but there are ways that you can participate in restoring your republic. It's not a full-time job. Doesn't have to be. Just talk to people. Self-educate yourself. You want to see this country get better? Just start learning. Start reading. Maybe get down on your knees and pray to God that He is centered in the center of your heart as well as your marriage. A strong marriage and a strong nuclear family equals a strong nation. Now, there are many ways that we have been met with symmetry over the last several years, several decades, dare I say, last century. And one of those ways is through the American State National Assembly, all right? Or this American States Assembly, also known as the American State National, that BS movement where, you know, they do affidavits of repudiation and they correct their status, right? I think so far they've swindled and bamboozled over 10 million plus people. Yes, Anne Vandersteel was part of that group. I don't know if she still is. But now the problem with this is that when they supposedly correct their status, they separate themselves from the system. All right. sure, you separated from the system, yes, but now where do you go? You've expatriated, but now you have nowhere to go in order to claim as your own. What do you claim? I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, The Terminal, and I don't like bringing up this monster, but Tom Hanks starred in that movie. But again, not to bring up a big name pedophile in Hollywood, which we haven't really seen much of lately, but I want to stick to the plot of the movie because it is very interesting. So in that movie, The Terminal, the character, the main character known as Victor Navorsky, his character finds himself stuck in an airport due to a fictional political situation in his home country of Kirkosia. Now, shortly before Victor's arrival in New York City, a coup d'etat occurred in his home country, resulting in the country's government being overthrown. So as a consequence of this coup, the United States, along with many other nations, revokes recognition of the new government and imposes travel restrictions, rendering Victor's passport basically invalid. So the precise political circumstances in Kirkosia in this movie are not fully explained in the film, but it is implied that the coup and the ensuing political instability prevent Victor's character from returning home, but also it prevents him from entering the United States lawfully. So he's got no valid travel documents. He's unable to pass through immigration. Victor basically becomes effectively trapped in an international transit area of JFK Airport. He's ultimately a man without a nation equal state to return to. So when these state nationals do an affidavit of repudiation, you basically become a person. You become a person without a country. What are you claiming? Because now you're not claiming to be here, you know, from the United States. So what are you running to? What, you're just a man or a woman on the land? Well, what land? Technically, you should be evicted out of this country. You should be evicted off this land. Now, throughout this movie, Victor's status as a stateless person caught in a bureaucratic limbo, it serves as a central plot point, driving much of the humor and drama and the character development. But sadly, for the people who do these affidavit of repudiations, also known as AORs, which are referred to, again, affidavit of repudiation, you need to remember that word because you don't want to be doing that. But to the people that sadly do these AORs, you basically end up turning into a stateless person within the land of these United States of America. So yes, while you have corrected your status from one entity, which you don't really need to correct your status because guess what? You are always a sovereign civilian. You are always a sovereign man or woman on this land. You were never a citizen. Why are you correcting yourself from being a citizen? You are not a public servant. Did you do did you take the test to become a citizen of the of America, the immigrations test? Like, did you do any of that? Because if you didn't, you're claiming to renounce something that you never were. So yes, while you have corrected your status from one entity, you ultimately have nowhere to run towards now, therefore creating a very big issue for yourself and causing you to be classified as a foreign in your own residing country. Yes, if you do an affidavit of repudiation, guess what? You are now a foreigner to these United States of America. You can't serve on a common law grand jury in the General Jural Assembly. Again, you're a stateless person. You basically can't have your feet on this land or on the sea. That doesn't mean that you're going to be evicted off the planet, but you know, this is a very big issue for a lot of people, and that is often not understood, and it's really overlooked, heavily overlooked. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why the General Jural Assemblies need to be in place. Because this is ran and operated by the people, which ensures that the government structures that we appoint, elect, and hire do not step out of their boundaries, which was laid out in the Constitution. Read your Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. My God. Seriously, do some reading. I'm not asking you to read a college level textbook. which is probably going to have fake crap in it anyways, because McGraw-Hill was owned by, you guessed it, Ghislaine Maxwell's father. Surprise, surprise there. But again, I can't emphasize this enough, the return to original jurisdiction where the power lays in the hands of the people. So in other words, when we lawfully have our estates assembled and settled, this is where we can tell the corporation your services are no longer needed, go pound sand, and away you go. Some of them to Gitmo, depending on their crimes against humanity. See, so many people are drawn to doing this status correction because they so badly don't want to pay taxes anymore. They so badly don't want to pay property taxes anymore. They so badly just want to be left alone. They don't want to do a driver's license. Look, I get it. I'm with you. I don't want to pay property taxes, state income taxes, federal income taxes. I don't want to have to pay for a registration every year on my car. I don't want to have to do any of that crap. I want to be left the hell alone. I'm with you. Believe me, I am with you. But when you think you're doing the right thing, even if it was the right thing, let's just say, even if it was the right thing, you know what that is? It's a self-serving action. You're not helping your fellow man and woman in this country reach sovereignty and freedom and step away from this matrix we call this cabal criminal syndicate system. I want to read to you something that Kirk posted on his Telegram before he went on vacation, which if Kirk's listening to this, I hope he's having a good vacation right now. He's down, I think it's Arizona, visiting his family. But anyways, he wrote not that long ago regarding the American state national BS, and I quote, and again, this is from Kirk's Law Corner on Telegram. This is what he wrote. American state national is a fraud. National, as a noun, did not come into being until 1887, after the Reconstruction Acts of 1871, changing our form of government into a corporation under the monarchy, and is only found in the bylaws of the corporation. Well, surprise, surprise. National is only found in the United States Code. That would be Roman civil law. SMU by the bar. I don't know what SMU stands for, but it is SMU by the bar after the Reconstruction Act of 1871. The American Bar Association was created in 1878, which is in direct violation of Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, no title of nobility clause. Now, etymology is the origin of words and what they meant at the time of creation. So, national. It's an adjective, meaning of or pertaining to a nation or a country regarded as a whole, established and maintained by the nation, peculiar to the whole people of a country. In the 1590s, from French national and from old French nation, and also from nation, opposed to local or provincial or in the U.S. or state, meaning peculiar or common to the whole people of a country, is by 1620s from 1802 as established and maintained by the nation or its laws. Now, as a noun, citizen of a particular nation from 1887 related to nationally. And you, again, if you want to look up the etymology, you can go to etymonline.com. That's etymonline. EtymOnline.com. Now, something else he refers here. 8 U.S. Code 1101, Section 21. The term national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a state. A state. A state of what? Not a state of Michigan or a state of Ohio or a state of Texas. But a state of what? The term national, according to 8 U.S.C. 1101, the term national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a state. Well, a state of what? Section 22. The term national of the United States means a citizen of the United States or a person who, through not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That would be the corporation. Section 36, the term state includes the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Virgin Islands of the United States, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. The United States of America is not here, folks. So you're owing a permanent allegiance to the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Let's look at 8 U.S. Code subsection 1101, part B3. The term person means an individual or an organization. Law of Nations by Vattel. This is the real law. This is real law, common law. Book 1, chapter, 19, subsection 212, talks about citizens and natives. Let's see what the Law of Nations says. The citizens are the members of a civil society bound to this society by certain duties and subject to its authority. They equally participate in its advantages, and the natives or natural-born citizens are those in the country of parents who are citizens. As a society cannot exist and perpetuate itself otherwise than by the children of the citizens, and those children naturally follow the condition of their fathers and succeed to all their rights. The society is supposed to desire this in consequence, in consequence of what it owes to its own preservation, and it is presumed as a matter of course that each citizen, on entering into society, reserves to his children the right of becoming members of it. The country of the fathers is therefore that of the children, and these become true citizens merely by their tacit consent. We shall soon see whether on their coming to the years of discretion, that they may renounce their right and what they owe to the society in which they were born. I say that in order to be of the country, it is necessary that a person be born of a father who is a citizen, for if he is born there of a foreigner, it will be only the place of his birth and not his country. Constitution 4, the United States of America, Article 6, Clause 3, it states, the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, that's interesting, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Therefore, public servants are the citizens as it is written. I've been saying this for a while, folks. Ever since I've learned what a citizen was, public servants are the citizens as it is written in law. Now, this is kind of, this is the kind of nonsense that is being pushed on the American people to create confusion, to muddy the waters. It's not just the American State Assembly that's, giving us this symmetrical subversion, but it's other entities like Tactical Civics, We the County, Beacon 37, Life Force, National Liberty Alliance, RUSA, also known as RUSA, and any other organization out there that is reporting to be an assembly that is not following the Michigan model, which, by the way, is recognized by 7 different countries, the U.S. military. Oh, and that's right, again, has not been rebutted by The Hague. Well, what is The Hague, Jason? I don't know what The Hague is. Well, The Hague, which is in the Netherlands, it's known internationally for being the location of several important institutions, including the International Court of Justice, also known as the ICJ, which is the principal judicial organ for, the United Nations. It's also home for the ICC, also known as the International Criminal Court, which supposedly prosecutes individuals for genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and aggression. Well, funny, not funny, but those same people who are supposedly doing these prosecutions are the same individuals who are engaged in the same criminal actions. Imagine that. It's also important to note that The Hague is also home to numerous other international organizations, non-government organizations, and diplomatic missions, It plays a very significant role in global governance, diplomacy, and the promotion of international justice and peace. But here's the question I ask. International justice and peace for who? For them, not us. It's definitely not for we the people. Maybe it's international justice and peace for the cabal criminal syndicate at large. Again, when we put worldwide notice of our existence and return to original jurisdiction, guess what? The Hague did not rebut this. Silence is acquiescence. This is why they couldn't rebut the notice by the Michigan General General Assembly, because it is the power of the people who are now standing up and declaring that, hey, we're here and we are returning back to, we are returning power back to its rightful hands. So while there's no rebuttal, that's not to say that they will not stop at trying to thwart these efforts of the people. See, by law, they cannot, by law, what do I want to say here? By law, they can't. They can't. They just simply can't. They can't rebut the notice that was given by the people. But again, you bet your bottom declining dollar that they will go down kicking and screaming, and they will make sure they will put up every roadblock at every turn that we make. That's symmetrical subversion. Here's another thing that a lot of people get caught up in. The Reawaken American truth tours that are taking place by people like Clay Clark and Mike Flynn, among others, right? The Flynn Network. And I'm probably going to get a bunch of hate mail for this and a lot of negative comments, but you know what? I don't give a crap. You don't like what I'm saying? Turn the channel and unsubscribe. I don't give a flying rip. I don't. I don't give a... I don't. I absolutely don't. They are out there trying to siphon money from people, the American people. Even though they say they have no set price for their tours, they tell you to go siphon your gas, give up your change, do whatever it takes. They are trying to make money off the ignorance of the American people by promoting false messages of hope here in America, making people believe that, hey, a savior is in the background coming to your rescue, when in reality, it is the people who have to come to our own rescue. Hence another level of symmetry that we, the people, are being met with. And when it comes to returning our original jurisdiction and restoring common law and power back into the hands of the people, see, I cannot wait to watch what unfolds here in the coming months. Not only with what the Assembly of People are doing and what we got working, I am looking forward to seeing what unfolds with Mike Gill, with the Pandora's box and the Pandora papers. That pretty much is evidence that leads to all these corrupt criminals and their money, their money laundering system and their child trafficking system out of New Hampshire. I am so looking forward to this. I don't know about you folks. I am. It's going to be great. We have some big things coming down the pike. It's going to shake a lot of things up. It's going to put a lot of these low-level players and these CIA-ran and operated podcasters, aka quote-unquote truthers, and their power structures behind them in a grave, grave situation. It's going to discredit a lot of these entities who are trying to subvert the people's efforts. Anybody out there trying to propose of being a pretend assembly, it's going to discredit them. And when this shake, when this shakeup happens, we are going to have so many people of all different walks of life that are going to be coming out, trying to seek out members of the General Jural Assembly like myself, like Oscar, like Lisa in Georgia, like Destry in Alaska. They're going to be coming after people like us. And when I say coming after, coming to us and different people in the General Jural Assemblies in different states, because they are going to be so hungry and eager to get involved when this shakeup happens. This is not going to be an if this happens, ladies and gentlemen. It is certainly a when this happens. And sadly, there are a few people out there that are giving the impression that they are for restoring this Republican form of government. But in the background, they too are part of the symmetrical subversion. It all starts at the Vatican, and it trickles down from there. People need to wake up. Get your head out of the sand. You have no idea what's coming. And I can't wait for when this comes. It's gonna be glorious. That's not to say it's not gonna suck for a minute. Anyway. So with that, I say, let's get to the closing of the show and do a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts overflowing with gratitude for the opportunity to gather as a community, seeking to restore a Republican form of government and return to the principles of common law. And we just want to say thank you for guiding our steps and bringing us together for such a noble purpose. We acknowledge your blessings in our lives, our families, our income, our homes, and we are grateful for your provision in every aspect of our existence. Father, we recognize the importance of freedom and the principles upon which our nation was founded. And we ask that you grant us the wisdom, courage, and strength to pursue justice and righteousness in all of our endeavors. And we just ask that you help us to be faithful stewards of the freedoms that we enjoy and to work tirelessly to protect and uphold them for the future generations. Father, we lift up to you all those who carry a special intention prayer in their hearts, but they might struggle to articulate it in prayer. Surround them with your love and grace, and may they feel your presence guiding and comforting them in their time of need. And so as we continue on this journey, Father, may your will be done in our lives and in our nation. And may we walk in obedience to your word and seek your guidance in all things. And we pray all this in your holy Son's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Hard Line, we are firm. We are steadfast and we are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross that line again. It is our duty to hold that line. For the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy, complacency, fear, doubt, anxiety, and hopelessness. It aims to enslave us mentally, hindering our progress towards self-mastery, self-governance, and our self-procured relationship with our Heavenly Father. So remain vigilant. Remain resolute in your commitment to holding this line. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here next time. It's a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line, and I hope that we bring nothing but positive messages to you, informed information. We hope that you see this as the positive charge in your life that gets you prompted into action, that prompts you into critical thinking, to ask the tough questions. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in here at His Hard Line.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. His Hardline Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.